It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're in the book of John, John chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 16 through the 27th verse. John 15, verse 16 is where we're going to begin to read. Now, as you look that up in your Bible so that you can follow along, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today. Now, let's begin the study. John chapter 15, beginning to read with verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their way, in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's begin now with prayer after we've read the precious word. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come together and to enjoy your word. This program is called The Truth because we proclaim it clearly, word for word, as we look at the Bible, look at your precious word, and we know that your living word. And if we're to come to know you as our Savior, it will be done through your word and your word only. If we are to grow after we have trusted in you as our Savior, we have received the gospel, we once again will only grow and come to know you and know how to serve you and bring honor and glory unto you only by your word. So help us today as we look at the word concerning hate and hatred and the word love. Please that you will show us clearly today what you'll have each one of us to know and to learn from you today. Now please, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look to the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and then whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father, in my name, he will give it you. Let's back up just a little bit there, and let's look at that word ordain. Ordained means to purpose. Ye have not chosen me. There is nothing good in us, no desire that man has of and for God. And so God chose us first. God has come to seek and to save us. God has shown love towards us when we were all his enemies. But I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me. I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit's going to remain. Again, ordained is to purpose. I have chosen you and purposed you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Now let's go back to a section of scriptures to Romans because it will speak of that. Romans chapter 8, it's so important that we enjoy the Word of God and that we realize that one verse of Scripture confirms another. One verse of Scripture will explain another. This is not by anybody's private interpretation, but by the Word of God. And we need to be careful that that we do that when we study the Word of God, that it is the God's precious Word and not just our ideas of something. Now, if you'll look with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30, I'm going to read those verses for you. Hopefully, you've turned along with me so that you can see it and enjoy it as we go through this section of Scripture. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, in reading through those verses of Scripture, I want you to see with me how important, as we look at the 16th verse, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have chosen you for the purpose. I have purposed that you should bring forth fruit, and that fruit's going to remain. As we've looked in the other areas of the 15th chapter of John, we have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, as you finish up with the 5th verse. So there's many areas of Scripture concerning that we're to be fruit-bearing believers, that we're to bring honor and glory, we're to be busy at work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it looks to this, that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you and purposed you, that's the reason I wanted to go back to Romans chapter 8. And again, I will read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, my destiny is set. My life is set before me to be conformed, to be in and turn into, be like Jesus Christ. Now, I have a choice. I had a choice when I come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether to trust in Him by faith to get my sins taken away and forgiven. That was a choice, a free choice I had. He showed me by the Holy Spirit touching my heart all of God's work, all of God's doing, nothing of mine, but He showed it to me. He showed me His way. He showed me that it was the only way to come by faith to Jesus Christ to be saved, and I trusted in Him. Now, when I trusted in Him, then He knew it, of course, from the foundations of the world, before the foundations of the world, and that's the 29th verse, for whom He did foreknow. He knew I was going to trust in Him and ask Him to be my Savior. He knew that. Because He foreknew that, foreknows that, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Any person that has come by faith to Jesus Christ, their life is set to be like Jesus. Now, God has given every means, every way that our life can be powerful and strong and of a good witness and bring honor and glory unto God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God has given us every means that we need to do that and to carry that out because He foreknows who's going to be saved. That's the foreknowledge of God. Now, we need to be careful here because when we look at this Scripture and you see that word chosen, well, is some chosen and some not chosen? Yes, that's true, but not by God Himself. That is man's choice. If you have chosen today to come by faith to Jesus Christ, meet him at the cross because he is your Savior. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the only Savior. He is God and man. He has come to earth because the only way that we could have our sins taken away was through the death of a sacrifice. Otherwise, I would have to die for my sins. But Jesus died for my sin. He was a perfect sacrifice. He offered himself freely. He surrendered his will to his Father's will, which was to come down here and to die on the cross and to save me and to save you. Now, the day that I trusted in Jesus Christ, I became one of these chosen. Now, God knew before time. He knew before the foundations of the world that I was going to do that. And he has set my life because I chose him. He has set my life to be and be conformed to the image of the Son. My life is predestined to be as the in the image of the Son. If we'll look to verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he did predestinate, he has set my life to do that, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is all the life that is set before me, because I have come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now you have to make the same decision. It is your opportunity to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. The reason you are one of the chosen is because you came by faith. You've got that opportunity today to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and come to him. I have chosen you and ordained you, purposed you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And we have that powerful opportunity because God has laid that plan out before every individual that has come by faith to him. Please now, that we do not misuse that opportunity, but we will look in our life that we may bring honor and glory unto the Lord, that we may set our life in service unto him always, because it's so important that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then that we begin to serve him, that we may produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Again, the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me. I'm back to John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Wonderful that it's not something that perishes. You know, anything in this life either rots away, rusts away, corrodes away. Nothing in this life is permanent. But everything we do for the Lord Jesus Christ is permanent. And so please look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Walk after him. And begin this fruit-bearing life that you may receive the honor and the glory and give honor and glory unto the Lord. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. What an opportunity that we have when we are in his will, following after his way. And please don't ever miss that, because it's so important. A verse here is so wonderful, back in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, if you always hear, well, God knows what's best. Yes, he does. But see that you are following his will by his word, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can do that is if you'll come by faith to him today. Come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved. Please, as you're listening today, the Holy Spirit is showing you your sin. He's showing you the need that you have to be saved. Please, you surrender to Him, turn to Him, and then we'll watch you with this wonderful walk of producing fruit. And not only is everything for the good, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We also know, according to John 15:16, the last half, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. That's what happens when you surrender to the Lord's will continually. You need something, you ask Him for it, He will give it to you. But you're asking in His will, not selfishly. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The 17th verse of John chapter 15. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We have been through many verses of Scripture here. We find in the 9th verse, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And that is talking about His precious word. We're to follow His will, and then we'll continue in His love. Now, if we continue in His love, then we can begin to produce fruit. It's so important that we are fruit producers. The production of fruit as a Christian will be to give love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That will be our life. What a wonderful individual you will be the day that you surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and have your sins forgiven, and then begin this wonderful walk that you may know Him and enjoy Him and have this fruit coming from you. And you will be drawing many others to the Lord Jesus because of your life. Now, they're going to come to you, or they're going to run from you. They are going to come to you and begin to love you as a brother or sister in Christ, or they will hate you and run away. And we have the same explanation here. These things I command you, that ye love one another. It's so important that we see that this is a command. These things I command you, that ye love one another. It is important to realize that it is not a feeling. Now, people set all their direction, all their strength, all their guidance. Preachers, sad and sorry to say, depend upon emotions to get people to give enough money or support the church in some manner or another. And it is not, to be a Christian is not something that is emotional. Now, it can become emotional, but the foundation of being a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, is not emotion. It is God's Word. We need to trust in God's Word. When Jesus says you're a sinner and you need to confess your sin, you come before Him, you confess your sin before Him, and you trust in Him as your Savior. Now, when that act takes place, your sin is forgiven. If you laugh, if you cry, if you fall on your face, if you whatever you might do, has no bearing on it. It's a decision that you've made by the calling of the Holy Spirit upon your heart that you would turn to Him. He calls you, He directs you, and you turn to Him and trust in Him. And when that takes place, that's an act. Well, God's love is the same way. God's love that He showed towards us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, was an act upon the cross of Calvary, obedience. It wasn't a time of emotion, and they just, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together and decided we need to do something, and they wept and they cried and they decided it's time to do something, and so they emotionally made this decision. No, the decision was made clearly, knowing the only way that salvation can come into the heart of man, lost man, is if a sacrifice, an offering is given, and it must be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect offering, and Jesus Christ is the only one. And He died on the cross. That is an act. That is, He followed the Lord God's, His Father's command. We need to follow the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another. Now, some people aren't real lovable. Some people are hard to get along with that confess to be brothers and sisters in Christ. But we must show them that love. Now, do you not do that because you don't feel like it? Now we're back to the emotion. We need to get rid of that emotion. Now, I'm not telling you that I don't have people that come down the aisle at the time of the invitation, at the end of the service, or even during the service, that they won't become emotional and that they won't cry, they won't laugh. Things that are going on during the service, they are a part of the service. But the decision, and that's part of us, but to make a decision for Jesus Christ to come by faith to Him is not something that's emotional. It's God-driven by the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to come, realize your sin, confess it, and come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do that. Now, once you do that, there'll be a definite day, time, hour, and minute that you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do that. How about the love now that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and we're commanded to love our brethren? We need to love them because God has commanded us to do that. And when you'll begin to care for someone in a godly love, the way we should, to lift them up, to pray for them, not to condemn them, not to criticize them for something they have done or have not done. Maybe they don't act quite like we act, and so maybe they haven't grown quite as fast as we think we have, and so we begin to criticize them. No. Love them. Do not condemn them. Love them, lift them up, but it's a command of God to do that. Again, it's an act. And I'm not saying put on an act like an actor would. I'm saying it's an action. And you need to love, care for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus commands us to love one another. Jesus commands us to love. Now, it's so important that you don't miss this, but you look to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you begin to walk with Him after you have trusted Him. Again, it's not a feeling. It is an act of the will. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. In your Bible, you'll find that towards the back of your Bible, 1 John. We're in the Gospel of John now, but we're going to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It is an action. Just like coming by faith to Jesus Christ is an action, and you'll know when you do it. It's not something that just kind of happens and you just don't feel like it today and tomorrow you don't. I find that often with confessed believers, people that call themselves Christians. I don't know their heart, so I don't know for sure if they are or they are not. But I am telling you that their actions are set upon their feelings. It shouldn't be. Our actions should be set upon the Word of God, directed by the Spirit of God, and we should walk Christ-like, as we read back in Romans chapter 8. We need to walk because our life is set. We're predestined. So please, that you walk after the Lord Jesus, and you love that brethren, even when they're difficult to love, even when it seems like they're impossible to love. You lift them up. You pray for them. You do everything that you can do to help them to grow in Jesus Christ. And you'll get your direction, and you'll get your strength. You'll get your way from the Word of God, not from the world. Not from the psychologist and the psychiatrist, but from the world, from the Word of God is where you'll get your direction. Now, you must search the Word of God. You must spend time in the Word of God. You must be in the house of God, studying and enjoying the Word of God with other believers to have this ability, because the natural thing is, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going over to help that person today. I don't feel like helping that brother in Christ today. I don't feel like it. You listen to how many times in your vocabulary that you use the word feeling. You go to the Word of God. Let that precious Word speak to your heart, because I want you to have the joy of God in your heart. I want you to have something that the Scripture tells us shall remain. Bring forth, you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. I want you to do that. And part of that is the part of loving your brethren. And we need to look very carefully. Jesus Christ, His love, again, was an action. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed His love. He was willing to love someone that wasn't lovable, and that was us. We were His enemies. We were totally separated from God, and yet His love was so strong. That's the example we have. His action, Jesus Christ going to the cross, was an act of love. Now, we need to do the same. When we have someone, maybe it's a lost person. Here we're talking about the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. But also when we have folks that are lost that are around us, they should see clearly the love of Jesus in us. They should see that continually. See that that comes from your life and from your heart. It's important. It can only be God-given. It surely isn't natural. The 18th verse. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Hatred, to detest, is what that means in the Greek, to detest. It is a character in a part of the devil's kingdom, the devil himself, hatred. Love is of the kingdom of God. So you see, when hate comes from you, dislike comes from you, you choose to dislike someone, and again, we're to hate the sin but love the sinner. So the person, the individual, maybe you're hate what they do, their actions, what they do, you hate that because it is against the Word of God. But behind that action is an individual, is a person, is a man or woman or child that needs Jesus Christ. And we need to take the love of God, give them the gospel, tell them that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that they could have life, and they can have life if they'll just come by faith to Jesus Christ and believe. Please that you believe. The Holy Spirit will give you the power and the strength to do that. See that you do. The devil says hate. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit tells us, teaches us of nothing but love and gives us the power of love. Now, I said hate the sin. How can you hate the sin? Because it is against the Word of God. When we have something that is God-given, it's been given to us, it's been recorded in His Word, and God says, this is sin. We have to detest it. We have to dislike it. We have to stay away from it. But the sinner, the individual, God tells us, we need to separate the sin from the sinner, and we need to bring that sinner to Jesus, that individual will be saved. We are to hate, again, the sin, but to love the sinner. Bring Jesus Christ. The world is against God. We need the love of Christ. A malicious, spiteful, envious spirit is not the spirit of Christ, but of the world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The 18th verse tells us that it hates Jesus. It tells us in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Not only does the world hate the Lord Jesus Christ, but the world hates God the Father. Oh, it's so sad today that we live in a world God made that the world hates. Men hate God. We need to recognize and to realize Psalms chapter 17, verse 14, the last half of it. The men of the world who have their portion in this life. That's what's happened to you. Maybe that's what's happened to you. You have set your life up on the things of this world and not on the things of God. My dear friend, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do about Jesus?